Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So Team Grace, there was this local sheriff's deputy. He was driving around, and he sees this pickup truck. In the back of the pickup truck are all these penguins. He's like, what is going on here? And the truck's just driving around. Eventually, the police officer pulls him over, walks up to the driver and says, what's up with these penguins? And the guy's like, I know, isn't it great? They love just driving around the country and stuff. And the police officer's like, you can't be driving around with penguins. You got to take them to the zoo. You take them to the zoo. So the driver's like, okay, yes, officer, sure. Well, several days later, that same police officer sees that same pickup truck, that same driver, and those same penguins, right? Except now all the penguins have little glasses on, right? Little sunglasses, huh? So the police officer's like, what is going on? He pulls the guy over again, walks up. He's a little agitated. He says to the driver, what are you doing? I told you, take them to the zoo. Take them to the zoo. I told you, take them to the zoo. The driver's like, yes, yes. Okay, he goes, I told you, take them to the zoo. He goes, officer, I did. We went to the zoo, we had a good time, and now we're on our way to the beach. Okay, right? That is actually one of my favorite jokes. Okay. In the joke, the police officer only saw the penguins as zoo animals. But for the man, the driver, the penguins were his pets. They were a group of companions to him. And that theme of companionship is so important. In fact, I want to elevate that theme. I want to broaden it. And I want to apply that theme of companionship to our parish family. For some, regrettably, the parish is nothing but a mass station. They pop in and they pop out. They couldn't care less about what happens here or what we're seeking to do for the sake of the gospel. Somewhere along the way, they came to the wrongful conclusion that Mass is the only thing that we are called to do or to care about as Christians. Vatican II was clear. The Mass is the summit and the source of the entire Christian way of life. It is the most important thing we do, as we have repeatedly stressed here at Our Lady of Grace. But, and hear this, the Mass is not the only thing that we are called to do. As Vatican II would emphasize, the Mass does not exhaust the Christian way of life. There are many other things that we are called to do and called to do together as Christians. Vatican II, when it teaches this, is echoing our faith from the Acts of the Apostles to today, that the Christian way of life is precisely that, a way of life. And it is a way of life that is meant to be lived in the midst of a community. Read the Acts of the Apostles, dear friends, or any of the accounts of the early church, or any account of the church throughout her long history, and you will see time and time again, the church dwells and thrives in the midst of local communities. And so where are you in your discipleship? Have you made that personal decision for Jesus Christ that the church calls us to make, in which the sacraments are meant to give us the strength to live out? In your life, have you chosen Jesus Christ? And of course, once we make that personal decision for Christ, the next question has to be, have you chosen a community in which to live out that discipleship? Are you invested in a parish community? The two must go together. As we begin this brief period of ordinary time, we are invited, each of us, to examine our discipleship and to recommit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. As we seek to make that recommitment, it's important that we examine all the parts of what it means to be a disciple, including our call to community life. In terms of the well-being of the faith, we are told time and time again by Pew Research that a personal decision for Jesus Christ and a stable Eucharistic community are the best guarantees for perseverance in the faith and for the fruitful passing on of the faith to the next generation. This means if we have not yet committed ourselves to the Lord Jesus or invested ourselves in a parish community, our faith is weak. And there's a high probability that our faith will not be picked up by the next generation. Have you seen our statistics, dear friends? Organized religion in general, but also the Catholic Church, and we should be different because of the grace that we receive. And yet we find both with organized religion and the Catholic Church a massive spiral downward in terms of numbers, an extensive hemorrhaging of membership. People are abandoning the faith. And in large part, That's our fault. Because we have not properly accentuated the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have not emphasized enough the importance of belonging to a stable Eucharistic community. Now, the shocking thing about such realizations, personal decision for Christ, stable Eucharistic community, is that neither of these are difficult. We're not talking about flying a rocket to the moon. But of course, as soon as I say that, I have to step back and realize that it's not difficult if we truly believe in Jesus Christ and want to live as he has commanded us. You see, if we don't believe in Christ and we don't want to live how Christ has called us, because we've redefined Christ, redefined the gospel, redefined church teaching, redefined discipleship, then this sounds overwhelming. But if we surrender have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, then this isn't difficult at all. Of course I would make a personal decision for Jesus Christ. He will be friend, companion, confidant, shepherd, savior. And of course I would belong to a community of disciples who have also made this commitment in order that we might iron sharpen iron and grow together in our faith. But are we committed to Jesus Christ? Have you made that commitment? Do we realize that Jesus Christ founded a church and that he has summoned us to be together? This is not an option, dear friends. If we understand the way of the Lord Jesus, we understand it is a communal way. We are bound to one another. The Mass is the highest act of a parish community. It is when we as believers who exist as a community come together on the Lord's Day in order to offer the sacrifice of our salvation. The sacrifice, however, begs for a rich community life to surround it. The community that comes before the Lord should not be some vague collection of strangers or those who are disinterested in one another. When we approach the Lord at this altar, our parish altar, are we a community, a family, or are we strangers? What have we allowed ourselves to become? It's interesting because in the early church, the unbelievers would watch the Christian community and they would be enticed to the gospel because they saw how the Christians loved one another. What would the unbelievers say today if they were to step back and watch our community this weekend? Would they be as compelled to the gospel? Or would they say, those people don't love each other, they're just like us. There's no difference. Would they see a distinction? Would they recognize that this is a community that loves one another? Our parish is not a club or a random organization. It is not a loose collection of families. We are a parish. The word is Greek. It means a colony. We are to be a colony of the kingdom of God right here in Indian Land, South Carolina. That someone should be able to walk here and see in us a reflection of the kingdom of God. Peace, patience, kindness, love, self-control, generosity, goodness, faithfulness, to see here in the midst of our life a reflection of eternal life in heaven. We are also called to be a colony of the universal church right here in Indian Land, South Carolina, that someone could come and see the entire Catholic Church reflected in our community. We have been called together by God's divine providence to be together in this place at this time. None of this is accidental. None of this is coincidental. None of this is loosely thrown together. We have been brought together and are called to continue the way of the Lord Jesus, the entire full way of the Lord Jesus, to the praise of God the Father and as testimony to the unbelievers who dwell among us. Being a parish family means that we follow the way together. We seek, yes, to be a people of worship first and foremost, but then also a people of prayer, a people of the sacred scriptures, a people of holy fellowship, a people of selfless service, to continue the way of the Lord Jesus, all of it. Praying as a parish family means that we come together for opportunities outside of Mass. Dear friends, somewhere along the line, we got the idea that these were optional, that we don't have to do these. And so while, yes, no one can do everything, we are all called to participate in something. This is why the parish offers opportunities for adoration or prayer at the abortion facility or the consecration to Jesus through Mary and so many other opportunities. These aren't options. We're not just providing events. These are things that we are called to do, and the Lord expects that we would participate in them, that in addition to the Eucharistic sacrifice, the Holy Mass, that we as a Christian community will also be praying together. And again, I think that if we can just retwist and reverse that error, that somehow these are options, I think that we would find stronger parishes. I know that we would be a stronger parish if more of you chose to participate in prayer here at your parish family, with your parish family. Also, as a parish family, it means that we have to seek instruction in the faith. This is why we provide a Wednesday Bible study and these formation days on Saturdays periodically, and so many other events, one after the other. These are provided because we are called to seek instruction in the faith. I am sometimes surprised how many believers are studying nothing in terms of the faith. Nothing. Not reading a book, not trying to read the sacred scriptures, nothing. They are ignorant in the faith, and they are comfortable with being ignorant in the faith. And of course, let me just say a word to our parents. I am shocked, as a fellow believer and as a priest of Jesus Christ, of how many parents have their children in no program of Christian formation. Their children are not in Catholic schools. They're not in a Catholic homeschooling program. They don't come on Wednesday evening to the parish program. Their children are receiving no instruction in the faith. And of course, we can step back and ask, well, why would they? Because if their parents aren't receiving any instruction in the faith, why would their children think that this was important? Dear friends, we are called together to come and study sacred doctrine. Throughout our Lord's ministry, he would ask, have you not read? Do you not understand? The Lord assumes that his disciples know the sacred scriptures, know sacred doctrine. We are called to study sacred doctrine together. Also, as a parish family, we are called to holy fellowship with one another. Now, that begins in the grassroots. Do you realize, dear friends, that you're supposed to be inviting each other into your homes or to events? When was the last time you reached out to a parishioner and invited them to your home for a meal or to go together for coffee or to participate in some event? Do you realize that's what we're supposed to be doing? We are not supposed to be strangers to one another. Do you know the names of 20 other people in this parish outside of your family? Why have we neglected, to our great loss, the importance of holy fellowship? That begins at the grassroots. You need to be doing that. And of course, the parish will provide opportunities as well. This is why we have those donuts once a month. This is why we do large events. This is why we had the fall festival. We actually had two of those, didn't we, right? Thanks to the rain. The gingerbread day, and the next month we do Mardi Gras. We aren't just having events for the sake of events. These are opportunities for us to be together in faith, in a wholesome environment, as fellow believers, to be together. It's holy fellowship. And we're supposed to be participating in these. Again, that's holy fellowship. Being a parish family also means that we serve others. That also starts at the grassroots. In your home, you're called to tithe, to give 10% of all that you receive to the church and to those in need. You're also supposed to be reaching out to those around you in need. Do you realize that God's providence has sent you as a missionary in your neighborhood? You're supposed to be looking at your neighborhood, and you should know your neighbors, know their names, what their needs are. You should be the one to reach out and provide help as best you can. That begins, this service to others begins in your family and then to your local neighborhood. People should be able to look at your house and say, I know those are Christians because they're always willing to help. They're always there. They're always available. That's what we're all called to be. And then, of course, our holy service, our selfless service, also the parish provides opportunities. So, for example, this is why we have diaper drives and food drives and personal hygiene item drives. This is why we have a blood drive. This is why we do so many of the different programs we have. This is also why, as a parish family, we tithe. Every week, as the spiritual father of this spiritual home, I let you know where our tithe is going. 10%. It goes to those who are in need, organizations who are serving those who are in need. This is a selfless service that we are called to do as a parish family. Now, friends, this is what a parish family looks like. And yes, it's demanding as Christian discipleship itself. The Lord was not joking. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't speaking in poetics when he said, if we want to follow him, we must be willing to die to ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. We see throughout the public ministry of our Lord that he summoned people to himself and he formed a community. And then he called that community to live as he lived. And that's the same today, dear friends. God has called us together. The Lord has summoned us. And he is asking us together to live his way. And his way does not simply involve worship. This is first and foremost, but there's so many other parts that we are called to do. When did we start thinking again that these were optional? I pray for the day when Catholic Christians begin to understand that all the other parts of the Christian way of life are as binding as the Mass. That they understand I have to come to Mass on Sunday, yes, but you also are called to pray and to study sacred doctrine and to serve the poor and to seek holy fellowship. And you are just as bound and called to do that in the midst of your parish family. We have to understand that, dear friends. We have to retrieve the proper understanding of what it means to follow the way of the Lord and to follow it together. No Christian walks alone. No family walks alone. We are called to be together as a parish family. Let's compare and contrast the visiting Catholic who comes to our community. So the visiting Catholic, this is a sibling in Christ. They belong to a different parish, and they're just passing through, and they attend Mass with us. It's wonderful. It's great. We're glad they're here. They're a sibling. They're worshiping with us. It's great. It's great when they worship with us and they put a few bucks in our offertory. That's wonderful, right? But they're guests. Siblings, but guests. Imagine our parish as a house and we're in a neighborhood. And this house, this parish is our house. And we have all these other houses. Those are our sister parishes. And it's good that they come and they visit. And sometimes we visit them. But at the end of the day, sometimes they have to go home. And we have to come home. And we have to understand that we have obligations and responsibilities to this house, to this family, that this is our home, this is where we belong, and this is what we are responsible for. And so we have to make the distinction between the Catholic who simply passes by and the active parishioner who is a member of this parish family. And to the membership of this parish, you have to understand the responsibilities and the duties that come with the Christian way of life as we live together as a parish family. And so I've given you so many things, and I run the risk of providing you with so much that perhaps you're overwhelmed and you're not going to do anything. So let me just give you three practical steps, small baby steps that we can do together that might help you. First, I'm going to ask that you make sure that you read the electronic bulletin that's emailed to you every Saturday afternoon. Isn't it great when you come to your parish family, you don't have to worry about finding a bulletin, a piece of paper? We email it to you because we want to make sure that you know what's happening. And we go to great lengths, myself and the staff, to make sure that electronic bulletin is as concise as possible. We're not going to waste your time. We want you to know what's important and what's happening here at our parish. And I'm going to ask you to take those 5 or 10 minutes every week to just go through that electronic bulletin to find out what's happening here at the parish. Now, if you're not receiving that electric bulletin, please stop by the front office. We might not have your email address or have an old email address or an incomplete email address. You can stop by because you should be receiving that every Saturday afternoon. Incidentally, Team Grace, I go to great lengths to write every week a pastor's column. Some of my brother priests think I'm crazy. They say, do you know what the problem is with a weekly column? It's every week. But every week I carve out time because it's important because I want you to know what's happening in our parish family. So I write down what is most important. And you also, by our parish electronic bulletin, have resources that if there's something in the bulletin that's not there that you're curious about or you want to know about, you have access immediately to myself and the entire staff. You can reach out and ask a question or find out whatever you might want to know, because that's how important. We are yoked together as a parish family. First, I'm going to ask you, please read the electronic bulletin. Secondly, I'm going to ask you to use the envelope or the online service for your tithe. Yes, we're members of this parish family. That means we're called to tithe. The passing guests, they can come and throw a few bucks in the offertory, and we're grateful. So sometimes when people are members of the parish, they tell me, oh, Father, I give cash. I need you to know, Team Grace, that 98% of the time when someone says that, they're lying. And you just have to be aware of that. So if you say that, you just have to understand the context. Because if you're a member of this community, of this family, there are responsibilities, there is an accountability. You are to use the online service or the envelope. Now, first, that's just important. And I know sometimes people say, well, we're not exactly where we need to be with our tithe. Okay. Sometimes they said, we took on a lot of debt. We're trying to get there. Okay. And they said, we're trying to ease up there. Well, fine. The Lord's going to bless your good work. Do what you can, but take accountability for where you are. Incidentally, Team Grace, it is the offertory of the membership by which I can responsibly budget to find out what we can do next fiscal year. I rely on your offertory to find out what we can do. So as a parish family, we tithe and we do it with the envelope or the online service. That's the second thing I ask. Third, Team Grace, I'm going to ask you to just try to do one thing outside of the Sunday Mass. Just one. Let's start with that. Just one thing outside of the Mass. And for those of you who are doing some things, if you're able, maybe take on one more. Now that could be something as simple as coming to the Bible study on Wednesday evening, or coming to the Holy Hour on Monday. Or maybe it's signing up for our Helping Hands ministry. Helping Hands is great. They're the ones that are outside in the cold running our diaper drive and our food drive a couple months ago. You can sign up for Helping Hands. They just send you an email blast. Hey, we're doing the diaper drive here. Hey, we're going to do a project out in the storage area. Can you come? And you can say, I can do this. Or, yeah, that's not good for me right now. Or, I can do. It's very fluid. It appeals to a lot of people. And it's one way you can help your parish family. One of many ways. I'm just going to ask you as a member of this parish family, invest in this parish family. I'm going to ask you to take on just one thing. We can do that, right? Obviously, I pray that you care about what's happening here and you want to be a part of this. So I ask you to just do one thing. So those are three steps, Team Grace. Read the electronic bulletin, follow the envelope or the online service for your tithe, and do one thing beyond the Sunday Mass. Those are our baby steps in order for us to move in the right direction and eventually get where the Lord is asking us to be. So this is what it means to be a parish. This is what it means to be a Christian community. And we are called to do it together. And it's my hope that you will say yes, that you will choose to be a part of this parish, that you will truly allow this to be your parish family. For dear friends, we are called to follow the way of the Lord, all of it. And we are called to do it together. So I'm encouraging you and asking you, as you examine your discipleship this ordinary time, make that further commitment. Recommit yourself to the Lord and commit yourself to your parish family so that we can follow the way of the Lord and do it together.